This is NBC News Radio.
Real talk for real people, right here in the Inland Empire. We are 1050 AM, KCAA.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignore these conspiracies online. At the window, sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children lie to see Mother Nature's sigh?
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome, everyone, to Smart Health Talk. And I am, like, this is actually a very special day for me because we have a very special guest. And she is from Rodale Press. And the mission statement for Rodale Press is that they want to inspire and enable people to improve their lives and the world around them. And that is exactly what Rodale did for me over 35 years ago. I was interested in the concept that food could actually prevent disease and heal people. What a concept, huh? And then after growing up on organically gardened food that was grown by my grandparents with a farming background, it was obvious to me that something was not right with the food that was being sold in stores. I started to research different farming methods by reading Organic Gardening magazine. I'm sure that most of you have heard of that. And calling the Rodale main office. They were always supportive and answered my questions. And they, you know, they helped me to actually believe that the thoughts that I was having that, hey, something's not right here, that I wasn't out there alone thinking this. And then as I started to learn more, I couldn't understand why anyone would want to put poison on their food that they were going to eat and believe that if food was going to heal people, it needed to contain as much nutrition as possible. Well, after reading about organic farming and then later about GMOs, it was obvious to me that we could never produce the kind of nutritional value and taste from GMOs, depleted soils, and pesticides that you could when you were growing with organic. So I used to think that I bet there are things that are in fruits and vegetables that we don't even know about yet. And sure enough, several years later, we found out that there was phytonutrients that were there the whole time. Some of you may know them as antioxidants. Well, guess what? There are actually other things in our food, personal care products, and things that we keep around the house that we can't see and are not required to be listed on the label. These are like invisible chemicals that can make us fat and make us sick. How about that? These things are like actually in our products. They don't have to be labeled. And so Leah Zerbe, who's the online editor for Rodale Press, which... You know, Rodale Press, they are the publishers of the most widely read organic gardening magazine in the entire world. And then Prevention Magazine, which you may have heard of, is actually the number one healthy lifestyle magazine brand in the world. And then Men's Health, this is all the same publisher. It's the largest men's lifestyle brand in the world, with Women's Health, one of the fastest growing magazines. And so, you know, this is when we're talking Rodale Press, this is what we're talking about. And so Leah, she's actually the online editor for their website, which is like one of the most extensive, it's almost like a library, really. There is like so much information on there. And besides all the magazines, Rodale actually publishes all kinds of books. And so Leah, as the online editor, she also writes articles. And a topic that really interests her, which is something that we share because it's really interested me too, is like some of the different things that were going on with our food and how they were affecting maybe possible weight gain and other different kinds of diseases. And I want to welcome Leah to our show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you're welcome, Leah. And first of all, I'd like to start off just I kind of gave some of the, a little bit of the background of Rodale there and what they're all about. But you actually were kind of a part of the Rodale family growing up because of your father, which I think is like really interesting.
Yeah, that's right. I grew up reading books like The Doctor's Book of Home Remedies and wellness books like that and Prevention Magazine. He got them all in the mail, and I remember being really young and sitting down and kind of learning about how food can be good for you and how food can help heal colds and the flu and how it can help you feel better. And that, I think, at a very young age, I started realizing that what we put into our bodies and onto our bodies really does affect our health.
Well, I agree with you 100%, and that's why I went to school to become a dietitian. That was my dream, was to actually use food to help heal people, because I really believed in prevention, and that's, you know, the name of one of Rodale Press's most popular magazines, Prevention. And something I wanted you to do for me while we're here on the air is just to kind of verify that I'm not, like, making this stuff up. There really are, like, a lot of things in our food that are not on the label.
That's right. And I know sometimes it can seem overwhelming because it is a lot of really shocking things for people. The first time they hear about some of these things, they can't believe it. That's why we focus a lot of time explaining what organic really means, because I think sometimes when people see it at the store, they think it may just cost a little more, but they may not understand all of the true benefits. So we try to do a good job of explaining why organic really is worth it and why you should really go organic as much as you can to live a better life. And a lot of studies are backing that up, too, given all of the chemicals that we're using in farming these days.
Well, I know for me, you know, when I looked at what money that I had to spend in my budget, I always put priority on the food that I was buying. I mean, yeah, I wanted to go and get a new outfit and have nice things, but I just kept thinking that if I put the food as the priority, then I would at least be able to keep my health. And at 56 years old, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I feel fantastic, and that's the way that I eat, just simple whole foods. And what you're talking about, like some of the things that we're going to get into, are foods that we kind of put in the manufacturer's hands to do with whatever. It's not so much the foods that we would make like at home where we're just taking regular whole foods and making meals. This is like when we kind of let control of food get out of our hands.
Yes, that's right. A lot of the additives researchers are finding in these convenience foods are actually really inconvenient for us in the end, because sometimes additives that they're using actually make us feel more hungry, so we end up eating more in the long run. And then things like pesticide residues that they're finding on and even inside of the food, that's really causing a lot of problems. Scientists are linking it to things like type 2 diabetes, to obesity, and certain cancers. So these convenience foods are really coming at a pretty high price. We're starting to see in the scientific literature.
Well, you know, wait a minute. You know, the government, you know, decided that all these different additives, which, you know, what are the numbers like now? Isn't it something like, you know, it's in the, like, thousands and thousands of chemicals that are in our food. About how many do we have approved right now?
There are thousands in food, but just even looking at everything, like everyday items, things that we're putting on our skin, things we're brushing our teeth with, I mean, we're looking at the tens of thousands of chemicals out there that we're exposed to every day. And I think the really surprising thing for a lot of people is that most of these have not ever undergone long-term testing to see how they're going to affect our long-term health. So there's about 80,000 chemicals out there right now, and only about 15% have been tested for long-term health effects in human beings.
How could they even be approved for use in products that would even be used on our children and babies? How could those even be approved by the government to even let these companies add those to all these different products?
In America, the emphasis is more on some short testing periods and then putting it out there. And as we saw with cigarettes, there didn't really appear to be many problems at first. And then decades down the line, the data catches up and the scientists do the work and they're able to show that, yeah, this really is something causing health problems. Now in Europe, they practice more of the precautionary principle. So if they would put something out there and kind of see that, oh, maybe this isn't so good, we're starting to see some health problems, then they'll pull it back. And they'll usually test it better before they put it out there anyway. But in America, it's different. We don't really practice the precautionary principle, which puts consumers really in a tough spot because then they're stuck doing a lot of homework when really you would just assume that if it was on the shelf, it was safe. But that's the big message here. It's really not, and we're seeing that in the studies that are coming out in the last 10 years or so.
You know, you make such a good point, Leah. I really want to thank you for saying that and just mentioning that, yes, the burden does fall on us. Unfortunately, we can't just sit back and think that everything that's on the store shelf and that we see advertised is going to be safe and good for us. As a matter of fact, it's probably the greater percentage is not good for us. Well, we've already had, it's already, I can't believe how quick the time goes. It's already time to take a break, but I don't want anyone to leave, please, because we have Leah, who is like such an expert, on the line here, and she's going to be giving us a lot more insight information that I doubt you have seen or heard anywhere else before. So please stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
Hey everybody, it's Deuce from Clark's Nutrition and Natural Foods Market. Have you ever noticed that the word change is found in the word challenge? We have, and that's why we have the highest trained and most understanding staff around. They will assist you in picking out the freshest produce, finding the perfect supplement, or figuring out which cereal has the most fiber. Whatever you need to turn your challenges into change. Clark's, changing the way you shop for health day by day.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Smart Health Talk, and we're on every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m., so please be sure and make a note of that and tune in because we have Leah, and it's Zerbe. Say it for me.
Zerbe.
Zerbe. Okay, I want to make sure I got it right. She is with Rodale Press, and they make some of the most widely read magazines in the entire world. And so we have someone that is an editor for their huge website, and she is full of information. So we're happy to have her here because we're going to learn some really important things today about what's in our food that could actually be making us fat and sick. Now, how did you get interested in all of this, Leah? Like, as far as, like, these, you know, the different things in our food.
Well, Rodale has always been very focused on food and producing food that's healthy and non-toxic for people. And part of my job every day as an online editor at Rodale.com is to read all of the new studies that are coming out. And I just started noticing that there's really seems to be a lot of focus lately on things called obesogens, which are things that are in our environment that could be causing us to gain weight. I always thought that it was kind of a calories in, calories out kind of thing. If you ate too much and didn't exercise enough, that you would gain weight, and that's really a huge part of it. But we're also seeing that some of the chemicals used to kill pests and diseases in food crops that could be lingering on and inside of the food, that they could be tampering with our ability to lose weight too.
Really? you know, I think this is like, as a dietitian, you know, I'm all over this. I'm fascinated. I wish I had your job. I would love to sit there and read new research all the time. I don't. I love finding out the new things that we're finding out about nutrition, because it is such a new science and there's so much that we don't know. And like you said, these chemicals were approved, and what's the system that you called it that we do in America versus the Europe as far as approving different chemicals?
Well, in Europe, it's kind of known among experts as the precautionary principle, where they are a little more cautious before unleashing a chemical out onto the general public. Here in America, chemicals seem to be approved more readily, and it takes a long time to catch up with how it's affecting the general population. So pesticides now we're seeing, you know, every week or two, a new study coming out about its link to either obesity or type 2 diabetes. We're also seeing it in diseases like Parkinson's disease and ADHD. All sorts of diseases are linked to different pesticides used in the food system today.
So, in other words, what you're saying is we've been kind of a big test subject, all of us, and now the results of those tests are finally starting to show up on what type of diseases that can result from regularly consuming some of these different chemicals.
That's right. Yeah, the general population is a bit of a, I guess we've been called guinea pigs by some people and some authors out there, and it's unsettling, especially if you're someone out there with a family and you're trying to provide healthy meals and healthy products for them. It can seem a little overwhelming, but there really are a lot of pretty easy things that you can do to protect yourself from these big problems, which is great.
Okay, so one of the things that we've learned so far that you've taught us are the pesticides that we're finding on foods. And I know so many people think that the pesticide residue is something that can be easily washed off. But you're saying that, no, the pesticides are actually in the food.
Some pesticides are called systemic. And the way that they work is that they're taken up inside of the plant to deter pests or diseases, things like that. You've probably heard of Roundup. That is the chemical glyphosate. That's a systemic pesticide. So it's actually legal to have certain residues of glyphosate, the Roundup chemical, inside of food. And you'll find that most often in processed, non-organic processed foods.
Okay, so these pesticides are in the food. And what you're saying on like how they make us fat is that after we eat them, They're like a disruptor. They're these obesogens that are causing some sort of a disruption in our own systems, where they come in and they kind of like take over certain things, and then our body gets kind of mixed up on what's really going on.
Yes, the Endocrine Disruption Exchange has said that a lot of pesticides seem to be endocrine disruptors, which means that they mess with our hormonal systems. And the hormonal systems of our body, I mean, it regulates all sorts of bodily functions. And pesticides are designed to interfere with a lot of those processes in insects. And what we're seeing is that it's also affecting us, too.
So what's the mechanism to kill the insect after we ingest it? It's almost like it's using that mechanism on our bodies.
That's what a lot of the leading health experts are starting to see in the studies that are coming out in the last few years, yes.
Okay, so they disrupt our hormones, and, you know, like, so what happens then after we've had our hormones disrupted?
I think it's also important to point out that a lot of where experts think the damage is being done is in utero. So when a mother is pregnant, if she's being exposed to a lot of these chemicals that are being dubbed obesogens, it can kind of permanently alter the development of the child, where they could be having some of these obesity problems once they're born. So that's why it's really important when you're expecting to really try to eat organic as much as possible. That's what our experts always tell us.
I second that. I highly recommend that as well. And so how they make us fat is that somehow they're stimulating us to produce actually more fat cells in our body, which that can't be good. And from what I understood, that the new fat cells that are being produced actually can hold more fat.
There was a study that came out this year that really even even shocked me. And I read this stuff every day. I'm pretty used to hearing things like this. But you may have heard of the chemical BPA.
Yes. And that's like in plastic and linings of cans.
Right. It's in some number 7 plastics. It's in most canned food liners. Well, there's a chemical in there also called BAD. And they found that it actually takes human stem cells. Those are cells that are used to replace dying skeletal or muscular cartilage cells. And it turns them into fat cells. So that gives you even more fat cells. And obviously, the more fat cells you have, the more body weight that you're going to have. And it becomes harder and harder to lose weight.
That is incredible. It's like so incredible. I'm sure there are people out there going, oh my gosh, maybe this is why I haven't been able to like lose the weight because of the food choices that I've been making because they have these pesticides on there. But it's that isn't actually the only source. We've learned the pesticides so far, and then you mentioned BPA, which is in plastics and the can liners. What are some of the other sources?
A big one is that they're called phthalates, and that is a plasticizing chemical, and it's used in many artificial fragrances and scented products. So just imagine all the personal care products out there that have the perfumes and the fragrances in them. Same thing with laundry detergents, things like that. Even air fresheners and scented candles. There's been some data out there to suggest that they could also cause obesity.
You know, I've always shied away from those, all the Febrezes and, you know, all these, you know, different kinds of air fresheners, even like, you know, my detergents, and especially those things that you know, the different dish soaps that have all those fragrances in there. You know, the last thing I want is my dishes to have like this fragrance on them because I'm going to be eating food off of there. And for some reason, they just never rub me the right way. I don't want to use any type of things with all these perfumes in there. I don't need fabric softeners that have all kinds of perfumes. I prefer my clothes just to smell like fresh clothes. And I'm fine with that. And besides, if I want to wear a perfume, I don't want it to be conflicting with Downy. So, I could never quite get it. But are you saying that, like, all of these different products, like I just mentioned, the dish liquids, the air fresheners, the Febrezes, all these things have that chemical?
Most of them do. But now there are companies that are stepping up, like Johnson & Johnson recently announced that in the next few years they're going to be taking phthalates and many other toxic chemicals out of their products too. So I think that we're starting to see consumers demanding safer products, and many companies are starting to follow through. But as a general rule of thumb, if you're not sure, if you have a personal care product, you can flip it over and look on the ingredients list. If you see something called fragrance or parfum, there's a good chance that it could contain those phthalate chemicals that you're trying to avoid. So we say when we're giving advice given to us from a lot of the public health experts, we recommend going for free and clear products, fragrance-free personal care products, and instead of using, like, scented candles, go for something like beeswax because that actually can clean the air, believe it or not.
Oh, really? Beeswax can do that? Well, that's something new that I didn't know.
The good thing about all of this is that there are a lot of safer alternatives. It's kind of picking and choosing where you're going to get started. And the bathroom is a really good place because that's where a lot of your personal care products are. You can choose an unscented soap to get started. It's not all or nothing because it can seem very overwhelming. So it's good to just pick a few starting points and go from there.
Well, you know, you're a lot nicer than I am, I guess. Because I guess I have no sympathy for these companies that I feel like they knowingly use these chemicals, knowing that they're risky and there is potential health risk to go with them. And they, you know, it's all about money and making more money. And a lot of these chemicals are actually replacing real food or real plant sourced items. That's the whole idea, right? It's like if it says fragrance, the word fragrance is really representing like a whole list of chemicals it took to create that fragrance.
Yes, there are actually hundreds of different chemicals that could fit into that category.
So, yeah, so when you see these things on the label, we want everyone to realize that, you know, the list of, like, ingredients on a label isn't necessarily everything that's in there, because they're allowed to use these words that are actually hiding a lot of other chemicals that are in the product. And so that's why you're being saturated, like what Leah is telling you, with all of these different chemicals each day. And I think I did read that one survey. They added everything up, and they figured the average woman walks out with about 500 chemicals on her body every day.
if you start looking at those labels, you can see how the numbers really add up. And that's why a lot of experts say just use fewer products or use products with a shorter ingredients list.
We have to cut to break right now, so we're going to be doing that. But we're going to be coming back, and we still have a list of other things that are adding to your, what would you call it, your chemical load that you're, like, carrying around every day. So please stay tuned, because we're going to be finding out a lot more of what you want to know is in your products from Leah. So stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
Hey everybody, it's Deuce from Clark's Nutrition and Natural Foods Market. Have you ever noticed that the word change is found in the word challenge? We have, and that's why we have the highest trained and most understanding staff around. They will assist you in picking out the freshest produce, finding the perfect supplement, or figuring out which cereal has the most fiber. Whatever you need to turn your challenges into change. Clark's, changing the way you shop for health day by day.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to KCAA Radio, 1050 AM, and you're listening to Smart Health Talk, where we try to bring you information that you probably don't get most other places. And Leah, Zebra, and myself, we're just talking. Leah's from Rodale Press, which is the publisher of some of the biggest, most famous magazines of all time, Organic Gardening, Prevention, Men's Health, Women's Health, Runner's World, all kinds of magazines like that. And Leah gets the fun job of sitting and reading all kinds of new research articles every day. So we have kind of a walking encyclopedia with Leah, who's been up on all of the latest stuff. And so she's trying to get us up to speed on some of the things that are going on, new things that we're learning about. A lot of these chemicals that are in our food, in products, in things around the house that are actually messing with our hormones and stimulating more fat cell production and fat cells that store more fat. So this could be why some of us can't seem to lose weight. And haven't we saw a correlation, Leah, between the introduction of more and more of these chemicals and the obesity epidemic?
That's right. After World War II, we started seeing a real explosion in the use of chemicals, particularly in everyday products that we're exposed to. So as we've been using more and more chemicals after World War II, we've been seeing a greater obesity epidemic and a bigger problem with diseases like type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome, things like that.
Well, see, that's, you know, when I have a master's in public health. And so as part of that, like, you're forced to learn all this stuff as far as, like, how public health can affect our tax dollars, health care costs. You know, this is a big burden long term. If someone has diabetes, that adds a lot of extra health care costs. And so, you know, that's kind of why I look at, like, a lot of these things, too. I see corporations making money, making cheap products, using cheap chemicals that now we're finding out more and more that it's causing all these problems. And who ends up paying for that?
Well, what we're seeing now is people are starting to pay for it with their health. But we did see something in 2010 with the president's cancer panel where they actually had top doctors recommending people to avoid exposure to plastics and pesticides. So we are seeing some messaging from the government, but we're still seeing a lot of these chemicals out there in a lot of products, and they're not being tightly regulated.
Well, and, you know, thank you, Johnson & Johnson, for making a pledge that, like, several years down the road here, after we've went through several more years of exposure to these chemicals, that you're finally going to get around to, like, taking them out when you are a huge corporation with all kinds of money. And so, you know, I that doesn't really, you know, make me feel any more comfortable.
Well, there is a great website out there for people where they could go on it tonight and go through and find safer products and rate how safe their toothpaste is, their deodorant, their shampoo, and that's Environmental Working Group Skin Deep Cosmetic Database. And that's really a great tool for people to find safer products. And a lot of them are from smaller startup companies, and they list all of the ingredients. And it's a great reference to find safer products starting now.
You know, that's – and thank you, Leah, because that's exactly – the message that we try to get across, and I appreciate you kind of, you know, reinforcing that as well, because, you know, Johnson & Johnson, like, do I really need to have a Johnson & Johnson product, you know, because I've seen it, advertisements for it on television. Support, you know, take these opportunities to support companies. Like you said, there's smaller startups that are, you know, they're not, they don't want to put these kind of chemicals in their products. They actually have some integrity and want to make sure that they're not causing any kind of harm to anyone that is using their stuff. And so those are the companies that I recommend that you seek out and try to support. And I will make sure that I get that link from you, Leah, and we'll include that with our broadcast on our website, so that people will be able to find that as well. And, you know, here, you know, you just mentioned, like, other products that people may not even, like, think of. Like, toothpaste is something that you may have to worry about. You know, I can't use regular toothpaste. The taste of that, I don't like it in my mouth. So I use minerals instead to clean my teeth. And I'm fine with that. I'd rather put dirt in my mouth than those toothpaste. And it actually works way better. It's healing my gums. So even, you know, like hairstyling products too, like hairsprays and things like that, those are some other sources as well, right?
Sure, and a lot of those contain that fragrance chemical. That's a really quick and easy way to kind of gauge how safe a product is. You flip it over and see fragrance or perfume on there, well, you might want to skip on that product because there's probably some other chemicals on there too. We're talking about obesogens today, but everything I'm talking about, most of these chemicals are also implicated with other health problems too, whether it be infertility or diabetes, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, certain cancers. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to look for safer alternatives until the science completely plays out. Because, like I said earlier, it can take decades to really have a solid handle on, yes, this is good and this is bad, because we saw that same thing with cigarettes decades ago.
And it's why even risk it? You know, when we're lucky enough to have a choice in this country of being able to buy products that don't contain these things, it's like, why even risk it?
That's right. And a lot of times you can kind of get around the whole thing by not buying products, by making your own. And I think the greatest example of that might be with cleaners, because cleaners don't have to disclose a lot of the ingredients. Like personal care products do. Ingredients in cleaners are pretty vague, and it can be really hard to find safe cleaners. But the good news is you can make your own, and you can save tons of money in the process, and usually can make it a lot safer than what you'd find on the store shelf too. So that's when you use things like white vinegar, baking soda, go back to the basics that your grandmother probably used.
As a matter of fact, when I used to be hired to clean my aunt's house, she used to have me clean all the mirrors using vinegar and recycled newspapers.
That's right. Yes, we recommend that today. And then if you're having a problem with streaking, you can add a dab of a plant-based Castile soap, just a little dab of that, and it seems to take away the streaking problem too. And we have tons of green cleaning recipes on Rodale.com too, but a great all-purpose cleaner that you can make. It's super easy. You get a spray bottle, and you do 9 parts water and 1 part white vinegar, and you can use that for just about anything as a general cleaner for your countertops, everyday cleaning in the kitchen.
And I've done that, and it does. It works really great. I hate having to spend all that extra money on all those cleaners, and I really think, you know, like, what is it really, is it really doing anything miraculous here other than like softening up the stuff on there and like helping me wipe it away? And they make it like sound so grandiose on television. It's like saving you so much time and all this. And I really don't see it myself. And I love all your suggestions. And trust me, like Rodale.com is a place where you can find just about anything. I'm so jealous. I wish I had like all of that information on our website. You can find just about anything. But we too, on SmartHealth.com, we too try to, you know, put some things up there that you wouldn't necessarily maybe not find on Rodale.com. How about that?
Yeah, hey, two great resources.
I know, two great resources there. Well, we have to cut to break again, but gosh, Leah, this has just been so great. I really hope our listeners are you know, taking all this in, because this, all of this stuff that, you know, we're talking about here, you can easily do without it in your life and start cleaning up your life and reducing the total amount of chemical load that you yourself and the rest of the members of your family are getting exposed to every single day with these suggestions. So please stay tuned, because we've got lots more coming.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Leah Zerbre, and she is from Rodale Press, and we're talking about chemicals that are in your food that could be making you fat or sick. And before I forget, I wanted to ask you, Leah, because you did mention that some of these chemicals can be associated with cancer as well. And the methylparabens, because there was a study that came out not too long ago where it was something like 54 out of 55 women diagnosed with breast tumor had these parabens in their tumor.
That's right. And that's another pretty easy thing to avoid. It is in a lot of products, but we're seeing companies starting to take them out too and replace them with more non-toxic preservatives, because that's why they're in there in the first place. It's used as a preservative, so the product is shelf stable longer.
Okay, so you're saying that like the methylparabens too, because we've talked about, do you say that like how do you say that word?
Phthalates.
Phthalates. Phthalates are different than methylparabens.
Yes, phthalates are a plasticizing chemical, but it also has a hormonal effect where it can affect your hormonal system. So those are two that the leading public health experts say to try to avoid. And if you go on Environmental Working Group Skin Database, you'll see that those two ingredients are rated as being more dangerous than others out there. So those are two good ones to avoid. And again, phthalates will fall under things like fragrance or perfume on the label.
And then also I wanted to mention like the BPA in the cans. Now, you know, people are probably thinking, what, are you trying to tell me that I can't eat canned stuff anymore? And go ahead.
One of the leading researchers on BPA is Laura Vandenberg, and she's at Tufts University. And she always says it's tough to tell everybody to give up all canned food, but if you can cut back, that can really make a difference. Certain companies are saying that they're going to be going BPA-free in the coming years, but consumers really should make sure they know what the BPA replacement is, because some tests have shown that the replacements can be just as toxic as actual BPA.
What about, like, I know Eden Foods and Natural Value has said that they have taken the BPA out.
Eden Foods, to my knowledge, is the only food that is disclosing what the alternative is, and that is a safer alternative. It's not another plasticizing chemical.
And I wanted to ask you, too, is it true that, like, foods like tomato sauce, where they're more acidic, do they have higher levels of the BPA leach in them from the lining of the can because of the acid in the food?
Some tests show that, but then others show that things like string beans and green beans have really high levels, too. So,
and they're alkaline.
Right. So it seems to be more of a manufacturing thing than the food that's inside the can.
Oh, thank you, because I always, like, wondered about that. Thank you so much. Okay, well, there's actually, like, some other sources for some of these chemicals, and those are, like, the non-stick pans and things that Scotch guards, those kind of things?
Yes, non-stick chemicals used in baking products and stain-repellent clothing, stain-repellent carpeting, they've been linked to problems such as thyroid disease, sperm damage, infertility, and ADHD, along with obesity. So this is a good one to avoid. And I know a lot of people out there, a lot of your listeners, they probably have some nonstick cookware. And what we generally recommend is to not totally freak out, but once you start seeing scratches and chips in that and it's time to replace it, that would be a good time to switch to something like cast iron or glass cookware.
And you're not supposed to get plastic hot, so what about, like, those utensils that are made from plastic?
Well, researchers we talk to say to avoid plastic as much as possible, but if you are going to use it, to make sure that you don't put it in the dishwasher to clean it, because the high heat and the beating it takes in the dishwasher can accelerate the leaching. And then you also never want to put anything like that in the microwave, because the high heat will also make things leach a lot faster.
Okay, and before we run out of time, I wanted to get to antibiotics in animals and how those can also be making us fat. And could you explain that for us, Leah?
Sure. Well, there was just a study out this week that found giving mice low doses of antibiotics, kind of the same doses that farmers give to farm animals, once they did that, they found that the mice gained 10 to 15% body mass within 6 weeks. So we're starting to see now in the scientific literature what the farming industry has known all along, because they actually use it to accelerate the growth of the farm animals. So they grow faster, they can make more money on them, they don't have to feed them as long. So that's how they've been using it for decades, really.
So how does, you know, the antibiotic use in animals and us taking antibiotics, how could that eventually make us fat?
There's still a lot of research that needs to be done there, but what scientists are finding is that it's throwing off metabolism hormones, and it's also changing the gut bacteria to a more unfavorable balance. And I'm sure with your research you know that your gut is really a very strong point of your immunity. Your immunity kind of starts in your gut, so it's tampering with that really valuable, beneficial gut bacteria and throwing off metabolism hormones.
Well, I know that now anytime that I take antibiotics, I always make sure that I go on a really intense regimen of probiotics after I've taken antibiotics, which is not that often, but I just finished having a bunch of dental surgery. I was forced to take them. So is that something that you recommend to try to counterbalance that? And I know that you had another recommendation, too, as far as, like, how people choose to use antibiotics.
Right. Well, a lot of our experts say to eat beneficial yogurt because it has the good bacteria in it after going on antibiotics or even while on antibiotics, or things like kefir, things that are really rich in probiotics. But the other thing is we're taking antibiotics for problems that really can't be solved with antibiotics a lot in this country. So if you're sick and you go to the doctor and he's reluctant to give you antibiotics, maybe don't nag so much, because most sinus infections and all colds are caused by viruses, and antibiotics aren't going to do anything to solve that. It's just going to help the bacteria develop a resistance and make the medicine not work as well in the future.
Well, can you give everyone an idea just how much of the antibiotics that we're producing in this country are being used in animals? So we can kind of get some sort of a scale on that.
Sure. About 80% of all antibiotics used in America go to the livestock industry, and they're used to counteract really dirty, crowded conditions in industrial farming systems, and they're used to speed the growth of animals. And actually, each year, food animals that are raised in just North Carolina alone, they eat more antibiotics than the entire American public. That's just in one year.
So is when we eat those, is that actually affecting us?
Well, there has been research that shows that there are traces of these medications in the food that we eat. So it's not just antibiotics either. They found ivermectin, which is an animal wormer that's turning up on beef that's sold in America. Also, other types of veterinarian drugs, penicillin, heavy metals like arsenic, and even antibiotic-resistant superbug infections like MRSA. That's really turning up in supermarket meat samples pretty regularly anymore.
Well, that's really freaky. And what I've tried to do is I do buy organic meat, but like not that much of it. And I've learned to make vegetables more the star of my meals than meat.
I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that things like avocados have a decent amount of protein. They have 4 grams of protein per avocado. Things like hemp seeds, chia seeds, nuts, beans and lentils, those are all really good replacements for animal protein, and they're often a lot cheaper than buying meat, too.
But soy is not something you would necessarily recommend. It's not something that I've ever been able to get behind myself.
The research is really mixed on soy. Soy, in some studies, is actually an obesogen. They found that infants who drink soy formulas are more likely to become obese later in life. So there are pros and cons to soy. That's something I think you'd have to check with your doctor or with a trusted health source, because it's kind of on a person-by-person basis. I think the jury's still out there.
Well, I wanted to tell you, I really enjoyed that your article that you wrote on Don't Be Fooled by the Dirty Dozen. I was like, thank you so much, Lee. Because I'm seeing, the dirty, eat these. And I'm just like, how can they? Okay, yeah, maybe these other ones, have more pesticide than the other ones. But how can they say that, that somehow these other ones are just as good to buy as organic? I mean, can you kind of put that into perspective a little bit, too, for people that see these lists, which are good in some ways that we're learning which fruits and vegetables have the most pesticides on them. But really, what we want is organic fruits and vegetables.
Right. They call Environmental Working Group comes out with the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And the Clean 15 has much lower levels of pesticides, things like asparagus, cantaloupe, sweet peas, sweet potatoes. But the truth is they still have pesticides on them most of the time.
So everyone, there you go. Buy organic fruits and vegetables whenever you can. Leah, I can't thank you enough. You were fantastic, and all the information that you had, I'm sure it was useful to all of our listeners. And I hope that you can come back sometime, because I want to pick that brilliant brain some more.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And thank everyone at Rodale for all those years of, making sure that we had information on organic and all the research that you guys do out there. I really appreciate it a lot.
Thank you so much.
Okay, everyone. Be sure and join us next Thursday, 4 o'clock, for Smart Health Talk. And thank you, Clark's Nutrition. Everyone, shop at Trust Clark's for all your organic needs and great, healthy products. You can find those right at Clark's. So stay healthy.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC Radio News is KCAA, News Talk 1050, the Inland Talk Express.